You are listening to Joshua Hockett and the Big Bite Podcast.
Atlas, very, very excited. Atlas.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Josh Hockett again coming from St. Louis, Missouri, and for week two of our special feature of The Big Bite here on Down to Feast, I've got Randy Santel. Again, this being just the second one, it's ironic because last week, like Eric, Randy is one of the few competitive eaters. There's only about two more that I'll actually get on the show here that I have met and got to know face-to-face. I've seen them compete a number of times. That pretty well established just what caliber of competitive eater they are when you get to see it live versus, you know, some of the YouTube videos and whatnot. Randy and I both lived in Columbia, Missouri for about a two-year period while I was at Mizzou as a strength conditioning coordinator. You just lived there at the time, correct? Or were you attending school yourself?
No, I lived in Kansas City. I just traveled to Columbia for a couple food challenges, meet up with Ramsey and stuff. Mr. PhD.
Actually, he's going to be on later today. I'll be doing an interview with him, and I think he's
I saw his name. I always laugh when I see the PhD. I can't believe it.
The first and only PhD I might have on this this interview. So why don't you tell us about yourself? You know, like, how old are you? Where are you at now? And what are you doing?
Well, my name is Randy Santel. I'm a professional eater. I'm 31 years old. I started back in 2010 after doing a 28-inch pizza challenge in St. Louis called the Pointosaurus, where my buddy and I won $500 eating the pizza and just under the one-hour time limit. But now, fast forward, I've got 549 food challenge wins in 20 countries and then 47 states. We have a YouTube channel, and then all my social media is Randy Santel, where we post all of our videos. But that's kind of where the success is coming from now. We've got over 370,000 YouTube subscribers, so things are going well, but we go all around and just do food challenges and don't do too many eating contests, but mostly focus on the food challenges and traveling all around, and it's been a lot of fun. And then I also own and operate the website foodchallenges.com, which mostly these days is pretty much a database for people to find food challenges and then to find a whole bunch of articles with tips and strategy advice for people wanting to train, strategize, and just dominate food challenges.
You said two things there that I want to go just a little bit deeper in because I'm particular with this. You said you stay with food challenges versus eating contests. Can you define what the difference is? Because a lot of people think as soon as you say you do a food challenge, they assume that you do Nathan's hot dog eating style contest also.
So I get that question a lot. Food challenges are pretty much just like on Man vs. Food, the show where somebody has 1 hour to finish a 5-pound burger or a 7-pound burrito per the restaurant's rules. And if they win, the typical prize is to get the meal free, maybe a sweet t-shirt, and then a spot on the Wall of Fame. Food challenges are pretty much by yourself. It's just man versus food. With eating contests, more people are involved. You're competing against other competitive eaters, such as that Nathan's contest where everybody tries to eat as many hot dogs as they can within 10 minutes. That's kind of what an eating contest is. You can have two types of contests where you see how much you can eat within a certain time period, or else there's a challenge contest where you take the food challenge and line up a whole bunch of eaters and just see who can finish the challenge the fastest.
I don't think I could have possibly said that better myself. I want to delineate that coming from you since you've got such a background in this that people think they're synonymous. In my opinion, you can be very successful at eating contests and be terrible at challenges and vice versa. Myself, for example, I did one like 8-minute sushi roll eating challenge thinking it would be fun as hell and all cool and everything because I like sushi, and I hated it. Absolutely hated it. But a food challenge, I would do those all day long.
To be the best competitive eater like Molly Schuyler or Matt Stoney or some of those guys, they've got speed and quantity. With food challenges, they usually have more time, so you don't have to have as much speed, but if you have the quantity, you still do well. But then there's some people who eat really fast, but they've got no stomach capacity. So they fare better in eating contests rather than food challenges with more amount. Once the challenge gets over 4 or 5 pounds, the person's not able to compete. But if it's just a 5-minute contest, they usually do pretty well.
True. What are you pursuing right now in terms of a profession?
My first degree back I got in 2008 was construction management, but I quickly realized that I wasn't too passionate about that. And then in 2010, I won that National Body Transformation Contest, sponsored by Men's Health Magazine and then the show Spartacus on the Stars Network.
Let me point out one thing. Randy here, as a fitness professional myself, that transformation contest, Randy got literally fitness cover magazine lean. Abs ripped. This guy was in awesome shape. He knows how to manipulate his diet and go to the other end of the spectrum and get really, really fit. Again, I want to put out there some of these people I bring on. They're not necessarily this stereotypical, you know, slob or overweight person. And Randy's an example of that because of how lean he's been able to get for these kinds of transformations. But keep going, Randy. I just wanted to point that out.
Yeah, no, thank you. Now I'm in school back at Missouri State University to become a dietitian. I'm semester 3 in of 6, and then in about 2020-2021, I'll be a registered dietitian. And then that's kind of when I'll retire from food challenges and everything, because it's very contradictory, obviously, to be an actual dietitian while doing a whole bunch of food challenges. So I'll probably do one last retirement tour, and then I will take the channel from doing all the food challenges to helping people understand nutrition better and overall fundamental weight management.
You're truly going to walk the walk and practice what you preach by, you know, kind of putting those days and years behind you and then pursuing the betterment of other people's health.
A lot of people with YouTube, they don't really think of the afterwards. They focus all their time on their channel and what they're doing now, and they don't really figure, hey, I built all these subscribers, what can I do with it after I'm done doing what I'm doing? And by switching over to the nutrition and health and weight management side of everything, we'll be able to take all of our subscribers we're building by doing the food challenges, and then help those people that want help with nutrition and everything, and just keep on going with everything.
That's a good long-term plan. What do you enjoy most about competitive eating?
What first really got me into food challenges was after I finished that body transformation contest, I wasn't playing sports or anything, so it kind of gave me motivation to keep on working out and being healthier, because I knew that if I did too many food challenges, I'd gain a lot of weight and just ruin all of the success that I had during that transformation. So it kind of got me to work out more by doing those food challenges, because also the more fit you are, kind of the better and the more you're able to eat, the better your capacity is. But then I quickly found out, I went to New Zealand as a prize for winning that transformation contest, and going to New Zealand really opened my eyes on how much stuff is out there in the world, and I just got really into traveling in general. And with food challenges, it gives me motivation to work out, and then it also gives me a reason to travel everywhere. I've been, like I said, 47 states and 20 countries, and most of those places I would have never been to if it weren't for food challenges and competitive eating.
Yeah, having watched a lot of your YouTube videos, the places you've been, the people you've met, and the things you've got to do, that alone would definitely seem to make it worth it.
Yeah, that's the other thing is we've met tons of people, just subscribers that watch our videos, all the restaurant owners, and just people we've met just at the restaurants that just happened to be there. It's been really cool getting to meet everybody. And then the eaters in general, getting to interact, now that we all have Facebook, we're all able to communicate and follow each other, which is pretty neat too.
Yeah, that's got to be pretty cool to run into subscribers like, hey, I watch your channel, and they get to meet you, and you know, you talk to them face-to-face. That's got to be pretty nifty.
Yeah, I'll be out at Missouri State downtown drinking a couple beers or whatever, and then somebody will come up. I've learned to recognize that face when somebody's like, hey, I recognize this guy, but I'm not sure. And then I'm just like, yeah, that's me. And they're like, no way, I watch your videos all the time. And then we take pictures and stuff like that. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, the iconic look of, I know that guy, but I can't think of where. Yeah, that's
cool.
Yeah,
they're confused. Well, we've had a bunch of videos get shared on Facebook and stuff, so some people, they don't really watch our videos on the channel, but somebody, one of their friends shared one of our videos and they watched that. So I've had some cases where they're like, I recognize you from somewhere. And
yeah.
I'm like, oh, it's a Facebook video.
Your reputation has definitely blown up and continues to grow. So that's probably something that's going to be pretty normal, I'm sure. It was your videos on how to for, you know, this kind of challenge or that kind of challenge. Because when I was going to do my first one, no clue how people did this. And so I literally took word for word, step by step, what your tactics were for how to get ready for challenges, and it worked for my first 3 formal challenges. So then I doctored it up a little bit and kept watching videos, and it continued to work even better. So I stayed with your strategies for how to get ready and prepare for challenges from day one. What strategies or tactics do you consistently use for challenges? I know like you use digestive enzymes, which I did too, but what else do you do pretty routinely to get ready for a challenge?
Yeah, back in 2010, before I went to do my first food challenge, there was basically nothing on the internet that I was able to take and use in order to train for that first challenge. So that's kind of what provoked me to first create RandySantel.com and then eventually led to FoodChallenges.com. The same story you had is how I met Mitch. Mitch used our tips off RandySantel.com for a burger challenge up in Wisconsin and then contacted me when he found out I needed help with his videos. Really, all of the food challenge tips and stuff, all the things that I do are already featured on FoodChallenges.com. I don't train as much as I used to back in the day just because my overall base stomach capacity is bigger and I don't really need to train for like a 5 or 6 pound food challenge. But 20 hours before, I'll do my max out meal. Back in Kansas City, I used to live by a couple all-you-can-eat salad bars, so I would just try to eat as much fruits and vegetables as I could, and then maybe have a quart of water on top of all that to just totally stretch my stomach. And then over the next 18, 20 hours, I would just kind of pee it all out and make sure my stomach was empty and just ready to eat. But with the digestive enzymes you mentioned, I still do take those. Your body's not meant to process 7 pounds of food, so... No. The digestive enzymes, they don't help increase stomach capacity. They're not steroids or anything like that, but they just kind of make sure that I feel better a half hour, an hour afterwards while the food's all digesting.
I took that one right from your book, the whole, you know, a 6-7 pound fruit and vegetable salad the night before if you've got a challenge the next day, you know, that morning or early afternoon, and then a bunch of water. You're stuffed, but it digests so quick and easy. It gets out of your system, and that proved successful for me each and every time.
FoodChallenges.com has a how-to series on it, the FoodChallenges.com YouTube channel as well, yeah.
No, for the listeners, there you go. Don't go into a challenge blind. At least have a little bit of insight and tactic for how you're going to handle your...
Make sure you win before you begin.
Amen to that. All right, Randy, favorite foods and worst foods. Favorite challenge to date?
My favorite food challenge I've ever done was in Chicago, Illinois at Cheesy's off the Belmont stop. It was an 8-pound grilled cheese sandwich with no french fries, and there were 5 layers of just deliciousness. A couple different meats and like 6 different cheeses that I liked, and it was just awesome. I really like varieties. I've done a couple hot dog challenges with 12 to 20 different types of hot dogs with all kinds of different toppings on them. I like those. Everybody loves burritos. My favorite type of challenge is pizza challenges, team pizza challenges to be precise, just because it's a lot more fun to eat with people. And then usually when I do a team pizza challenge, I know my partner can eat his half. So there's just a lot of confidence there, and it's just a lot of fun because you know you're going to win, so you just have fun doing it.
That's one domain of food challenges I have not done yet, and with pizza challenges in particular, I'm lactose intolerant, unfortunately, born and raised in Wisconsin, and here I can't have dairy. So that's kind of been like a just game over for me to even consider a pizza challenge. It's not that I don't like pizza. I freaking love the stuff.
You wouldn't do too well with a big 18-scoop ice cream sundae either.
And that's the other thing. Of all the sweets and desserts, I freaking love ice cream, but that would be the end of me. I can't imagine the aftermath. So I live vicariously through people like you who do those and make videos. Is there any particular food type or challenge you would never do?
Back in the day, I did a spicy wing challenge that had 10 wings all covered in Trinidad Moruga scorpion sauce. And it took me 2.5 minutes to eat the wings. And then it took me 2.5 hours to be able to walk out of the bathroom and grab my stuff and just go. And it was absolutely awful. I haven't done that many spicy food challenges since then. But the food challenges that I hate is not a specific type of food challenge. It's the restaurant's fault, where you have like a delicious burger or sandwich or whatnot with a big bun, but then the restaurant ruins it by adding a ton of different sauces on it. So the grease from the burger or whatnot, along with all the sauce, soaks into that bun and just makes it absolutely horrendous. And it takes a lot of diet soda or just some kind of beverage to help me get it down.
Just putting something together that's huge, it might look appealing, doesn't mean it's actually tasty, and it doesn't mean somebody's going to want to actually take it on, and it could actually impede the ability for somebody to successfully complete it.
Well, it's kind of like with barbecue. Somebody spends 4 hours making something, and then somebody puts ketchup on it. I mean, that's ridiculous. You got to enjoy the food that you spent so much time on, and don't add a bunch of just bullcrap sauces to it. Let the people enjoy the flavor of what you made.
Lesson learned to any new establishments looking to make a challenge. Consider that before putting one out there.
FoodChallenges.com has a whole bunch of tips for restaurants and just, we call them promoters, wanting to put a food challenge on. Because one of the issues with Man vs. Food Days was Man vs. Food inspired all these restaurants to create food challenges. It's the same with how to do food challenges. Nobody ever taught those restaurants how to create a good food challenge. A lot of the restaurants were making them too big, they were costing too much, or just not enough time limit, or something wasn't right, and therefore not many people did the food challenge. The restaurant just kind of quit it. Because of that, there's a lot less food challenges and just competitive eating events in general compared to what there was back in the Man vs. Food Days.
There is certainly a right and wrong way to do it. It'll crash and burn or not take off at all, or it could actually be really successful and get you some really good PR and marketing and some fanfare.
Yeah, if you do it right and you market it, you can almost become the home of blah, 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 blah. Yes. Yeah, especially with Facebook and everything these days. I mean, videos of food are getting millions of views and thousands of shares and stuff. It can really boost your restaurant really quick.
Yeah, good point. What, if any, health concerns do you have with competitive eating?
I'm a bit more extreme than 99.9% of people that do food challenges, just because I go for months where I'm doing a food challenge every day, pretty much, 6 to 7 a week. I also take multiple months off after those kind of trips and just kind of let my blood levels get back to normal, lose any weight that I gained, anything like that. Now that I'm 31, I'm starting to kick it back a notch. I was definitely, hey, I'm invincible back in the day when I first started. Wins number 9 through 12 were all done within 22 hours. I would never do that now.
Wow.
The big thing is just keeping myself from gaining much weight. Now that I'm switching over to dietetics, I keep myself from gaining any weight anyway. Making sure my fluid levels and everything like that are good is the big concern, because obviously I'm not doing this to get hurt.
Again, as a fitness professional, just throw this out there, like Eric, you know, him being a competitive cyclist, a semi-professional competitive powerlifter, these guys are really active and they understand what they're doing. Randy's big into working out, like he said, and he's got the knowledge of an upcoming dietitian. This is not...
Eric's able to work out a lot more than I am. I spend a lot of time on the computer doing YouTube stuff or studying and all that, and Eric's able to bike, so
yep.
I mainly focus on the diet side of restricting my calories so I'm not gaining weight and I'm actually losing.
Just that factor that you guys have this within a bigger picture of how you control and manipulate this so that it doesn't hurt you and that you can enjoy it and still manage it as a lifestyle factor. So I just want to point it out. Moderation, there you go, exactly. What major factor do you hope that current and future followers take from your eating involvement? Like a particular unique thing about you and what you're doing that you hope they take home?
Me in general, I'm not the most entertaining person ever, but everybody when they watch our videos knows I'm passionate about what I do. When you check out foodchallenges.com, you know that I was passionate about everything when I wrote those articles. There's a whole lot of effort into it. From what I do, I hope people take away, just be passionate about what you do, and if you don't like something, go do something else.
If it's worth doing, it's worth doing well, right?
Correct. Yeah, definitely.
Just a reminder, how can people find you? What social platforms are you on? Email, websites? Just hit those one more time.
Well, as far as I know, there's only one Randy Santel. So if you look up Randy Santel, everything will pop up. Obviously, YouTube, everything's Randy Santel. We've got Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I don't really use Snapchat that much, but we have that. And then my two websites are foodchallenges.com. Anybody that wants food challenge tips or even help finding a food challenge, there's an entire database that I worked on for months, where if you click on your city or zip code or whatnot, you'll be able to find all the food challenges around you. But then I also have my personal website, randysantel.com.
Awesome, Randy. Well, that's where people can definitely head over to find out more about you. And
yeah, my buddy Wayne did a food challenge with the Man vs. Food guys, the actual show, and one of the producers told him, man, that Randy Santel guy, he's got a lock on food challenges. His name pops up everywhere.
It certainly does. You just put in the keyword food challenges and your name is in there somewhere for sure.
Correct, yeah.
Well, folks, that's going to bring us to the end of episode 2 of The Big Bite on Down to Feast. Go over to downtofeast.com to learn more and find other podcasts with these competitive eaters within the U.S. and abroad. Until next time, we will see you guys later. Take care.
Hey, everybody. This is Randy Santel. Atlas with Atlas and Zeus Promotions, a proud owner of foodchallenges.com. Very, very excited today.